Well, praise God. Let me share something with you tonight. Go to get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of Ruth. Ruth is a very small book right after Judges. And it is. It's a small book, a lot of good. But I was reading the book of Ruth in just my daily reading time, and I want to share something with you. Let's just start reading in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days that when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went and dwelt in the country of Moab, for he and his wife and his two sons." Now, I want you to just take note of a few things. He doesn't say in here that God spoke to him and told him to go. It was just a famine, hardship in the land. He had a family. He's trying to, you know, do what the best he could. And he just, you know, went over to the land of Moab. It wasn't really that he had, you know, like he's sinned and done some horrible thing. No, he's just trying to take care of his family. Y'all with me? And it says, "And now the man's name was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of their sons were Mahlon and Chilion. And they were Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Now 10 years is a pretty long time. You can get pretty rooted in 10 years. You know what I mean? It's home after 10 years. You can always remember what it used to be, but after 10 years, you've kind of forgotten what it was over there, and now you're really knowing what this is and calling it home. Y'all with me? Okay. Let's go on. "So then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the women survived were two sons and her husband. So there arose with her the daughter-in-law, that she might return to the country of Moab, for she had heard that in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and had given them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. Now Naomi said to each of her daughter-in-laws, 'Go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Now the Lord grant that you may find rest each in his house and of her husband.' So she kissed them, and she lifted up their voices, and they wept. And they said, 'Surely we will return with you to your people.'" Now, stop for a minute. This is a mother-in-law talking to her two daughter-in-laws, okay? And she's trying to get them, they're Moabites, and she's trying to get them to just stay with their family and their lineage and go back and make it a separation, right? Now, she said that, talking of the two daughter-in-laws, she said only good things about them. So it seems to me, I think we can get from the story, that everything was pretty cool with Naomi and the daughter-in-laws, and it looked like they had a pretty close-knit family, you know? And then she said they must have been good to her sons, because she watched a mother-in-law is going to observe the way that their sons are treated by the daughter-in-laws, right? And it's all going to look around. She said, "Man, well, y'all are doing a good job. Y'all loved my sons. You loved me. You loved everybody." So you get this perception that it was the family was put together well, right? They were doing good together. Okay, let's read on. So he goes down and says, "Surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, 'Now turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that you may be your husbands?'" And so she's thinking that this thing, saying, "Well, wait a minute, I don't have any more sons, and so once we go back, you're going to marry somebody else, and that's going to take you off into the other family, and you know, you're not going to be a part of me anyway, so there's going to be a separation today." You with me? Let me read that all again, verse 12. "Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I would say, if I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, should also bear sons. Would you wait for them till they are grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sake, and the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Verse 14, and they lifted up their voices and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Now, I don't get it. It had a happy family. Everybody's going good. And then all of a sudden in Orpah, something kicked in her reasoning faculties. And she said, you got a good point. You with me? And then she was willing to just walk away from her mother-in-law and leave everything behind. But Ruth, who went through the same experiences that Orpah did, she said, no, I want to stay with you. So what's the difference? Both had the same lives. Both seemed like they had husbands that loved them. Both had a great mother-in-law. Both had a great father-in-law. Everything was good. Everything was hunky-dory. Two people in two different hearts. And at the moment of trial, the moment of whatever, temptation, the moment of however you want to say it, the moment of conflict, one does one thing and one does another. And there's no logical reason other than what was inside their hearts. Now, was Orpah a bad person? Well, I didn't say she was a bad person. I mean, she just chose to go back. She just split and left and went back. Did she make the wrong mistake? I mean, the wrong choice? I don't really know because we don't know what happened to her to go back. But we certainly get to read the forward about what happens to Ruth. Right? See, this is what bothers me in my walk with Jesus more than anything in life. I'm not concerned with the conflicts. I'm not concerned with the people who don't like me or this or like me or don't like me or this or that or the other. I'm not concerned with that. What I'm concerned with in life is at the moment of challenge, I make the right decision. Like I said, I can't say Orpah made the bad choice, but she isn't anywhere in the Bible. Ruth makes the right decision. She, look at her, listen to her heart. Listen to this woman's heart. And she looked at her sister-in-law, has gone back to her people and to her gods and returned after her, and returned after your sister-in-law. Naomi's still trying to get her to go. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried, and the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Wow. Listen to what was in her heart. I mean, this woman, you know, she was no just little simple peasant girl. There's poetry within her heart. The way she perceived things and the way she saw things and her love for Naomi was so great. She says, listen, no matter where you go, I'm going to go. Now, listen to me. Now, I'm going to throw the hooey out there, okay? All of us, I believe, would nod our heads and say, oh, yes, Pastor, yes. If I ask you, would you say those words to Jesus? We'd all say, yeah, we'd do it. But every day of every moment, we're challenged in our walk with Jesus that what are we going to do? What choices are we going to make? Are we going to act Christ-like or not? Are we going to do it His way or are we going to do it our way? All of us sitting in here, you know, you could tell me a time that you know God quickened you about something or spoke to you about something to do something and you didn't do it and you knew you missed God. All of us in here, we've done it. Nobody has a perfect track record. If you think you do, That's the problem you've got, is that you're so deceived you didn't know when you missed it. Because we've all missed it. Whether we knew it or not, we missed it. Oh, how many times I have gone about my day, prayed in the morning, Lord, I'm your servant. Whatever you want me to do, this will do. And then my day doesn't go like I think it's supposed to be going, and I'm trying to get to the other place that I'm supposed to be, and I'm hurrying to get there when I stumble upon something, and I think, well, I don't have time to talk to you. You know, I've got to hurry up and get over here, when that was really the place I was supposed to be that day, and I didn't recognize it till after it was over. But, praise God, there's been some times I caught it, too. There's been a few times in life that I did say, well, I'll be, that was the right thing to do. Y'all with me? The only difference in the two women was the decision they made, what was in their hearts, and the decision they made from it. That's the only thing that was in there. Ruth made a decision that caused her to end up that the whole lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ is born out of her. Wow. Don't you want to make a decision that's the right decision, that the Son of God is born forth from you in that decision, right? We all want to see that. I want to make decisions that then later on down the road, I say, my goodness, am I glad I made that decision. But I believe with all of my heart that there's somehow, and I'm not sure how, This is Robert Richards. This is me. Don't write this down in your Bible and say, yeah, Robert said, this is thus saith God. It's just Robert. I sometimes wonder if it's like a poker game. And the devil's looking for any sign God might give from the throne that you're doing good, because then he wants to try to trip you up. If you ever notice when you're doing bad, the devil's never around. Isn't that the truth? You get a revelation from God about something, you start to go out that direction, and then you got to fight all of hell. And you're like, why is this going on? Because you're doing everything right. Can you imagine Christians that were such Christians? They loved God so much that they sang the praises of God while getting eaten by lions. What do you think they were thinking in the Colosseum? Lord, what did we do? We only served you. I've told y'all that. I just pray that if I do have to go in a Colosseum and get a lion chasing me, that I could at least act godly. Not throwing dirt and rocks. And I mean, I may fall back to cussing. I don't know. I hope not, but you know, Lord knows. The moment I'm about to get eaten by a lion, I've never been chased by a lion. I don't know how I'm going to react. I don't think it can be good. And I don't think I'd sing the praises of God. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm there. I may just be spotting who I can outrun. And maybe all it is, you know. But you're talking about people that loved the Lord so much they'd go sing and go in the Colosseum and sing the praises of God. They're so in touch with Jesus, so in touch with the things of God, so in tune with the things of the Spirit, sing the praises of God and witness to the people and bless people and love people and pray for the people in the Colosseum that came to watch them get eaten. And die a death like that. And you know, we're not faced with that, praise the Lord. But the things and the obstacles that face us each day in our lives. And the only reason why the obstacles are there is because he wants to trip you up. He wants to trip you up, and he's only going to be there to trip you up if you're doing right. When the devil shows up, I just know I'm doing everything right. It begins to scare me when he's not around. When things get to going pretty easy, I'm like, man, did I miss God somewhere? It's just too easy, have I? Holy cow, something ain't right. I don't mean I go around looking for trouble, but, you know. Y'all following me here? Ruth at this moment made the choice. She had that love on the inside of her, and she made the choice that literally the Son of God was born from her. Now, I want to show you something else. Go, if you will, let's go over to a New Testament story. I want to show you this one. Matthew 14, I think. Yeah, Matthew 14, the story when Peter's walking on the water. Let's just look at this for a second. I want to show you something. Verse 24 will start. It says, the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. And on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, and they were cried out for fear. See, they'd watched too many scary movies. Who ever heard of a ghost walking out on the sea? It had to been like a, you know, old pirate thing or something, you know. I don't know, but, how did they come up with that? Pirates of the Caribbean right there going on. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, so I do not be afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. You know, and that's so funny to me that he had to ask if it was the Lord. You know, if it's you, command me to come to him on the water. Well, what if it was the devil and just said, yeah, come on. I mean, I'd have been a little more sure for us stepping out of the boat who I was going to, right? So when he saw the wind, it was boisterous, he was afraid, he began to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Now, get this picture. The other disciples are sitting in the boat watching this take place. Right? They're all sitting there. He's walking on the water. They're seeing the ghost that they are believing is Jesus. They're seeing Peter walking on the water. They're seeing this whole thing taking place. What are they doing? He says the wind's still boisterous. Are they paddling? Are everybody in the boat paddling, trying to keep it going? Again, I'm painting with a broad brush tonight. I'm just saying this could be true. Maybe not. If the wind was still boisterous, so that Peter then, when he stopped and looked at it, it scared him, I would kind of think these guys, there were some of them maybe paddling so hard to keep the boat straight, they weren't even seeing what was taking place. Hello. Could have been working the oar so hard trying to keep the boat steady, they never even saw that Jesus over here, Peter's walking on the water. They're like fighting it. Here comes a big wave, boys, we're going to watch this thing. When here, he's going to turn us over. Oh, you know, get a bail the bucket out, get the water out. Peter's walking on the water. We ain't got time. The boat's going down. Get over here. What are you talking about? Walking on the water. We're going to sink out here. We're going to die. The ghost is going to get us everything else. Come on. And see, that's how some Christians are living life. They're just out there just fighting it and paddling and trying to get against the wind. And it's just, oh, it's coming over them. You know, and they're bailing water and they're just trying to, just and they're missing that there's a miracle taking place right there that's just on the other side of the boat. I mean, the boats weren't like, they weren't out there in like a John boat. You know how I know that? There's 12 of them in there. You don't get 12 people in a John boat. Had to be a pretty good sized boat. Right? And if it was, the wind was tossing and turning and going all kinds of stuff like that, it must not have been a big enough boat that they were, you know, say, we've been through storms before like that. It must have been a boat that could have turned over and drowned them. But they were also pretty sure of it, you know, that it was a sturdy craft. So it would have been pretty easy for Peter to be walking off on the front of the boat going out across there and somebody's in the back trying to row and miss it. Hello? Let's read on. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and he said, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And then they got into the boat and the wind ceased. Now, you're just fighting the whole thing. All of a sudden, just calm. And look at the next verse. Those who were in the boat. What do you mean those who were in the boat? Everybody was in the boat but Peter and Jesus. But it makes it sound like, when Matthew writes this, he makes it sound like, well, those who are in the boat, it's like it was a separate category of people. Y'all follow me? Those that were in the boat, he wasn't even in the boat. Right? Those that were in the boat, came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, my Bible, by the word came, has a little number one by it. And if you look over into the center margin, it tells you that some of the manuscripts omit the word came and worshiped him. And it just, when those that were in the boat, it would read, those that were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, Lord, you're the Son of God. They never came to their senses until Jesus was standing right in front of them and the wind had stopped and he was right in front of them. Did they come to their senses and say, wow, you truly are the Son of God? Here's my point. You can live a life like Ruth, where your heart is so sold out for the Lord, you're saying, Lord, here I am. I'm going to go whatever it takes. If I never have a child, if my life is just living in servitude to this woman, and that's all I get, I don't get the other thing. I'm not going to walk in all those other blessings. I live my life in servitude, but this is where I'm going to go, Lord, because I just love you. I want to do whatever, Lord, whatever it is. This is the decision I make. And you keep yourself focused on it, and you do your best not to make a mistake. And then there's others, like I just said, that were rowing and fighting it and probably missed the miracle. Were they bad people? No. Weren't bad people. I'm just trying to tell you, church, there's a place. The point is, there's a place you can still live your Christianity. You still, if you died, you go to heaven, but you're missing the greatest days of your life with Jesus because you're caught up rowing, paddling, looking. You're all out there in a place. Don't you know that Ophrah just in her mind thought, golly, that's not going to be another husband. I love Naomi, but you know, man, I'm young and I need to have kids. And you know, if I don't have a husband, then, and I'm going to do a lot better off back here with these guys. So they kind of know me around town, you know, and get with one of them and we could have some kids and that, you know, that's going to be a better deal. She just thought it all out in her head. She thought it all out in her head. Now, Peter, you know, he challenged the situation. He kind of like was Ruth, like kind of had a little spirit like Ruth did. And he got out of the boat and he challenged the situations that were around him. But these other guys didn't even wake up and worship Jesus until they were in the boat. Now, last scripture. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about, he says, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that the eyes of understanding be enlightened and that you'd know the hope of the calling. And I believe Paul prayed that prayer simply because we're blinded. We as humans, we get blinded. Revelation 3 says the greatest thing you can do is buy that anointing eye salve and put it on your eyes so you can see. And the apostle Paul said, you know, I'm paraphrasing. I've been around church for so long. The only thing I've learned is I just going to pray that your eyes be open. You'll see Jesus. And sometimes that's all you can do for people. Lord, open their eyes so they can see you because they're paddling. They're missing it. They're saying, nah, I'm sorry, guys. It's too hard for me. I'm going to go back. And you can jump up and down. You can try to rope them, hog time, do whatever, and you can't get anything going. You're just going to pray, Lord, just let their eyes be open and see you, Jesus. Let their eyes be open and see you, Jesus. And so the challenge is, what are we going to do? How are we going to walk? Are we going to let the offenses, the stumbling blocks, the obstacles that we come across in life get us sidetracked from what we really want to do, which is serve Jesus with all our heart? You know, it's not worth it. Got to walk in that freedom. Got to walk in that freedom and just love God and go on. Amen? That's a good thing. Look at the person and say, just love God and go on. Amen? Just love God and go on. Be a Ruth. Have a Son of God born out of you. Amen? Praise God. Well, glory. That's it.